Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Halloween is meant to be a scary time. It's a time to dress up, celebrate ghosts, and remember the dead, or maybe even see a zombie. The annual festivities are a welcome time in the fall. This year, Halloween is even scarier. With the pandemic in its second wave and rising numbers of cases of COVID-19, parents are once more placed in a position where they need to be asked to take care and caution to ensure the virus is not spread. The Halliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit is recommending on its website to stay home and limit contact to family only. But there will be some people who will want to take their children out trick-or-treating, and there will also be people who will want to give out goodies. In this interview with Dervla Lynch, health promoter with the health unit, she provides some sound advice, some solid tips, and some steps to success while having a safe Halloween. Here is Dervla Lynch. I'm so pleased to have with me today Dervla Lynch, health promoter with the Halliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Like so many things during this pandemic, Halloween is being impacted. What is the health unit's overall recommendation to people regarding Halloween? Should they be going out trick-or-treating or not?
Well, we're not banning Halloween. We're just encouraging people to find ways to do it safely. So, you know, in terms of the holiday in general, there's some general precautions that we would want to have in place for all situations. We also have some recommendations for trick-or-treating, some ideas for celebrating at home, and then we have some advice on social gatherings as well.
I understand, though, from your website that you're not recommending door-to-door trick-or-treating. You're urging people to stay home. Can you suggest some at-home alternatives for parents who want to do this?
Sure. There's a lot of at-home activities available, and I've seen some really creative ideas on social media. Some people are doing things like a countdown to Halloween calendar where they spread the holiday over several days and do different activities leading up to the 31st. Of course, there's regular activities like carving pumpkins, craft projects. Some people are planning scary movie night or Halloween-themed books for the holiday. And some people are finding ways to do a little trick-or-treating at home. So that could look like setting up stations around the house where children can go from station to station and pick up some treats. It could also be something that looks like a scavenger hunt or almost like a treat hide-and-seek where children are encouraged to go and find the treats in the house. And then there's some other ideas as well, like a Halloween piñata. Some people are planning to do virtual Halloween costume parades so they can find ways to not only enjoy the holiday themselves, but stay connected with friends and family.
Now, for those who are interested in handing out treats, the health unit has suggested a couple of things.
Sure. So there are some signs available on our website. One of them says, we're open for Halloween, come on up. And the other says, today we're taking a pass on Halloween. So you can put that sign up if you want your neighbors to know what your intentions are. And then for trick-or-treating, there's kind of two sides of things, right? So we have whether you're going house to house to pick up treats and then also distributing treats in your home. So whichever one you choose, you'd want to stick to some of the general precautions in place to keep us safe. So if you're ill, please stay home. And if you have any symptoms and are not sure what to do, then we recommend that you do the online assessment and follow the instructions and guidance provided there. Whether you're going house to house or distributing treats, you'd want to wear a face covering that covers your mouth, nose, and chin. And, you know, we want to keep 2 meters apart from anyone outside our household. And as always, we're encouraging regular, thorough hand washing with soap and water or use of alcohol-based sanitizer instead. So if you're distributing treats at your house, one thing we would advise is to think about the possibility of setting up outside. So ventilation is important and can help reduce our risk if it's possible to set a table up outside. And then finding creative ways to distribute the treats to children without and still maintaining that 2 meter distance. And it's funny, I've seen some great ideas on social media as well. One man set up a zip line in his front yard so that the treats went down the zip line to the children. I've also seen some people creating a chute, almost some people using PVC pipes or paper mache and creating something that can deliver the treats into the children's bag and still maintain the distance. Some people are thinking about using a hockey stick to pass them out. Or, you know, if none of those work for you, then something simple like kitchen household tongs will also help to maintain the distance and distribute the candy. Now, the one thing we are cautioning against is putting a big bowl out on your front step and leaving it unattended. And this is because children can sometimes congregate around that bowl, and we don't want to provide opportunities for them to cluster. Because for the children who are going house to house and trick-or-treating, they still need to maintain that 2 meter distance. So we don't want to encourage them to cluster or linger at the doors. And we want to be mindful that a costume mask is not an equivalent to the protective masks that we're recommending. And we don't really want children to put on a face covering and then a costume mask over, because that could create difficulties for breathing. So if you're trick-or-treating, you can use a mask that's integrated into your costume, but the plastic Halloween costume masks are not a reasonable substitute. So children who are going trick-or-treating, they want to wash their hands frequently, use hand-based sanitizer if they can. Avoid touching, really, surfaces that get touched a lot, so doorknobs, doorbells, railings, things like that. And even your candy, if you want to be super safe, you'd save it till the next day when you got home. So if that's your plan, it would be advisable to have a couple of candies ready to go, because I know my son gets home and he just wants to dive into the bag. So if we have a couple of treats ready to go, then we can save those ones we collected in the neighborhood for the next day.
One of the things I wanted to know about people who are handing out treats, I've heard suggestions about goodie bags. What do you think about goodie bags? Is that a good alternative?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you put them in a bag and then they're not touched as frequently, that's good. And I know some people are even planning on having a costume parade in their neighborhood. So some children are planning on having goodie bags ready and then touring the neighborhood and delivering the bags to people, to their friends in their neighborhood. And some communities are also planning a physically distanced costume parade where the children can parade on the street. Everybody can watch them safely, and then every child at the end of that parade can get a goodie bag. And then you still get to enjoy Halloween and have some fun and some sense of normalcy and still be safe.
Now, there have been some suggestions that rather than having the kids come to you, that maybe they should do something not at home but elsewhere or indoors. What are you suggesting around that type of a celebration?
So social gatherings are really tricky because they do tend to be higher risk, particularly when they're indoors. The province does allow for 10 people maximum indoors at the moment, but we're recommending against indoor social gathering because the risk is significantly higher. If you do decide to have a social gathering, even in spite of the risk, then you'd want to be able to follow those same general precautions for all situations, like stay home when sick, maintain your 6 feet distance, wear a face covering, wash your hands frequently.
You were talking earlier about costumes, and of course, this is a big part of Halloween for everybody. You mentioned about the masks, and I want to go over that again because I know that's really significant, is the use of a face covering to prevent transmission versus a mask that we normally would use at Halloween to cover our faces. So can you go over that again for us so that we have a distinction there? Because I think people could easily get confused between a costume mask and then, say, the masks that the kids wear to school.
Yeah, I agree. And the difference is, you know, sometimes there's a lot of variation in terms of the types of costume masks that you can purchase. And some of them may provide better coverage than others. Having said that, though, the face coverings we wear to protect us from transmission cover our nose, mouth, and chin. And a lot of the Halloween face masks either have holes under the nose, holes around the mouth, and often don't cover the chin. So, you know, and often they're single layer, which actually is not as protective as a double layer face covering to reduce transmission. So while it seems like a good idea in terms of a substitute, it's not considered equivalent. What a lot of people are doing, though, is finding ways to decorate the masks, the type of masks that children are wearing at school, either with paint or markers, sometimes some sewing, and making a mask that can be integrated into the costume rather than buying like a plastic-based costume mask.
Maybe we could all go out as nurses and doctors.
I know. I was encouraging my son to do that. He didn't seem very excited.
Some people like to go out in groups with parents and a bunch of kids, and they sort of do it as a collective. But what about this year? What is the health unit saying about those kinds of activities?
You know, I think we'll often see in some of our neighborhoods groups of people out on the road. But like we've been doing for so many months now, we want to keep those groups safely distanced. So if you're out and about with your neighbors, you want to be mindful that, you know, it's okay to chat and have some fun outside, but also make sure that you're still staying 6 feet away from anybody that's not in your household. So what we would encourage is that people trick-or-treat and go out and do their Halloween fun together with other members of their household.
Now, we often think about Halloween for the younger kids, but we don't always include the teenagers. What advice would you be giving to parents of teenagers who may want to go out on their own or go out with a group of friends?
Yeah, that's a bit tricky because I'm thinking that a lot of teenagers have aged out of trick-or-treating. And so, I mean, like they're socializing day-to-day now, if they want to hang out virtually, have some kind of virtual party, as long as we can maintain the physical distancing and have our face masks on, you know, we still want to find ways to stay connected. So I think teenagers, you know, we want to talk to them about the rules and why they're important and make sure that they're complying with those, and then, you know, trust them to make good decisions when they're out and about too.
I know some municipalities and community organizations have been promoting drive-through events or other similar types of events. What's the thought on those kinds of events to participate in?
Sure. Anything that's a lot of the larger events that involve drive-throughs or driving concerts and things like that, those were planned usually with some consultation with public health. So that meant that, you know, the planners were ensuring that the spacing allowed for physical distancing and that there was opportunity for people to wash their hands often or to use alcohol-based hand sanitizer and wear their face coverings if needed. But anything that you can maintain those general precautions and still have fun is a good way to stay connected.
When the children and parents come home, and we've talked a little bit about this already, but what steps should they take once they come home? What precautions should they take in terms of not just the candy, but maybe in terms of their costumes and transitioning back into home?
The main thing is hand washing. So when you get home, assuming that you've been able to maintain your distance out of trick-or-treating and you've had some fun and you picked up some candy, get home, wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water again, or use the alcohol-based hand sanitizer, and that should be adequate.
And you've also mentioned, but I want to emphasize again, is what about treats on the night? Because as you mentioned earlier, kids get very excited. They want to eat their treats at night. What should parents be doing this year that's different?
Yeah, ideally, I know my son just wants to bring home the bag, dump it out, sort it, take stock and see what he's got. And I think to be ultra safe this year, the best thing to do would be to leave the candy in the bag and come back to it the next day, about 24 hours later, and get into that sorting and fun. So if we know that our kids really want to have a treat when they get back, then plan to have something on hand that they can have that you're providing, so that they still get to enjoy their treat and then they can dive into the bed on the next day.
I know that we're talking a lot about this, but could you give us a quick update on the COVID-19?
So we know that we're in the second wave. Cases in the HKPR region are still relatively low. It seems like people are doing a really good job following those general precautions. And, you know, Halloween is a time when we would normally gather, and we want to find a way to be safe and still have fun. And it sounds like there's a lot of rules around it, but really we want to keep the cases low. So what we're being asked, what we're asking is that everyone try and do their best. And if we all do that, then I think the chances of us keeping those cases low is very good.
Because we have low cases, sometimes people can start to think, well, you know, there's not as big a threat, or there isn't that opportunity for transmission that's as great.
Well, I know that, you know, COVID has been pretty tiring. It's been difficult. It's affected everyone in so many different ways. And it's pretty normal to be tired of it. It's pretty normal to be frustrated with some of the rules. But really, you know, our actions affect everyone around us. And so the fact that, you know, when we hear we're in this together, really, it's so important that all of us maintain these general precautions for the safety of everyone else. And, you know, while we can find ourselves getting frustrated with the pandemic, we need to also look at ways to take care of ourselves that can help us to get through it. And sometimes, you know, people there's a lot of news about COVID, and sometimes it's really dominating the news landscape. So if you find it stressful to keep hearing all those messages, then one thing to think about would be limiting your news intake, and then also ensuring that you're getting your news from reliable sources. The HKPR website, hkpr.on.ca, is updated daily. It's a great source of current, up-to-date information. There's information about Halloween. There's information about assessment. There's information about symptoms. There's information about all of the activities that we might normally participate in, even school and hunting, so that if you're not sure what to do, you can check there. Other things people can think about, too, is just taking care of our general well-being, like eating well, staying active, getting enough sleep, staying connected with friends and family. In whatever modified way we need to do that now will help us to stay in this together and come out the other end with the lowest cases that we can manage.
Dervla Lynch, thank you so much for talking to me today.
It's been my pleasure. Happy Halloween.
Same to you. That was my conversation with Dervla Lynch, a health promoter with the Health Unit. For more information and ideas for celebrating this Halloween safely, you can go to the Halliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit's website at hkpr.on.ca. There you'll find a trove of ideas, suggestions, and other helpful information about Halloween. You can also find a lot of information about COVID-19, data about the number of cases in Northumberland, and a guide to doing a self-assessment for COVID-19. I would like to take a moment to welcome the Health Unit's new Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Natalie Bocking. She will be taking over starting on April 5th, 2021. At the same time, I wish to thank Dr. Lynn Noseworthy, who announced her retirement many months ago. She was supposed to step down last June, but due to the pandemic, she stuck around. She will be retiring on December 11th, 2020. I want to thank her for all the interviews she has done with me, and I wish her a very restful and happy retirement. She certainly deserves it. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at @rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.